And the world health are now come to the second of the treasure that the Lord has played with me with in feeling that I have never felt in them before. And feeling the gracious sweetness to find just the one verse in John chapter 19 and I'll read verse 28, John chapter 19, from verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he says, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon Peter and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And thou didst carry up the ghost. Now, my dear friend, you can understand that I trust a little with me. That thing I heard with such heart softening was thee. My heart has overflowed at the tender sympathy and the simple way in which we pass from the law of Moses to the law of the gospel. Here is the junction of the roads. It is in it. The proclamation of the finisher, called by the apostle such, the author and finish of our faith. And oh, how quietly, no angelic host to declare the mighty deed is done. And no discovery of mighty power in any way or form. But the Lord says it, meaning the whole of the law, all that was contained therein, and all that Israel of old under that law had striven after, as Paul tells us in his epistle to the Romans. They've not attained that now. Why? Because, he says, they sought it not by faith. Compare this glorious utterance with what I have spoken at the table concerning the same finality in the utterance of the covenant-keeping Saviour as he institutes the Lord's Supper in place of the ancient Passover, and see the marked similarity in God's most holy way to teach us that it is finished. But as I said this morning, Jesus Christ is to many a man of honor, repute, worthy to be followed, whereas on the other hand he is a man blasphemed and hated. But to the Lord's dear family is something of a far closer relation than this. And that is, he is their head. He has accomplished and trodden the winepress alone of guilt that was laid upon him by his Father in Gethsemane, where he is described as a man of sorrows. This is the heritage, therefore, of his church. It ever has been. All lightness, all frivolity, all social religion, all carnal friendliness, niceness, call it what you will, can never come close or anywhere near to the union that his people have in him. But they are brought under the law. Although it is finished, it is not hidden away from their knowledge. It stands as God's holy law. From this, as the 7th of Romans shows us, by the law is the knowledge of sin. Without this knowledge of sin through the law finished. Honor thou it my day. Where are we? Is not this the promise of the Comforter? He shall convince of sin. Go back to the table, the strife among the brethren. Read of no conviction at that time, but think you not that with shame, like Peter, they remembered the time when they strove to be the greatest. What is it that convicts at the power of the Holy Ghost? What is it that reveals a broken law and consequent unworthiness? How came ancient Job to abhor himself? If there were no law then, how came Peter to go out and weep bitterly? And how do you come in these things that have sought to press in upon your spirit today with regard to your standing before God? What about your home life? Does it matter? Is it a matter that can be kept closely guarded? No one need to know. The Lord God, the hands of the Holy Ghost will discover it and convince of the guilt of it. What about your daily business life? You come home at night with your head raised and feel all is well? Or do you sit by your bedside and say, Lord, what an unworthy life is mine? Who brings that to you? Your wife? Your husband? Your pastor? Who brings this arrow, this sword? Is it not the Holy Spirit of truth? But it is His also to reveal the remedy. And here it is in this verse. It is finished. What is finished? Types and shadows of the ancient Mosaic law, yes. But what of the inner details of the law and God's just requirement? What of those secret sins of which we Agape. To where then can we look? Not out of head knowledge, not by reason of what we've learned from reading, but by this sweet, compelling influence of the Holy Spirit upon our knees, like the publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have these things of yours, my dear friend. Look at the riddle, the mystery of Christ. Look at what God has done for you. Look how it opened your blind eyes, so that you don't need anyone to settle by argument. You are convinced as a sinner to Jesus to come. Now, this being so, what is going to awaken over the hills in your life and come as the liberating trumpet did to the poor bankrupt in the days of Israel and the day of Jubilee? What's going to give you hope? What charming sound other than this will ever bring you to listen? Behold how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, and a peace not wrapped up in unknown language, but a peace detailed in the work merit, the travail of the soul of the Lord Jesus. What will, what can? Are you struggling after some merit? Seeking some good to do? Are you weary in trying to find the Savior with your hands full of the best you can bring? Do you know your Bible? Has it said, without money? All this must of necessity be the burning up. Come back to the subject this morning. That which you felt you had and now find that it's valueless. Nothing, says the ancient hymn writer, in my hand I bring. How real, how isolating, how separating from I profession, I worldly religion that can serve both God and mammon. But how will you come to this? Can I give you advice and counsel for the best way? If I did, could you follow it successfully? No. But through these glorious truths, we have the answer to the great question. The perfection, therefore, of our Lord's work is seen in this, that knowing that all things were now accomplished, yes, he said, I thirst. And they taunted him with vinegar, as you know. And as he touched it, he bowed his head, fully conscious, how different from us. In our hours of sickness, extreme weakness, could we deliberately and purposefully bow our head? Why, it bows in nature's weakness. We know not even our own thoughts, and not master of our own intentions, but conscious right to the end, an inexplicable, indefinable blessing that none can possibly elucidate. That faith lays hold of her perfect Saviour, who, though he was crucified through weakness, another of these treasures I have brought with me out of the fire for your sakes, I trust. Though he was crucified through weakness, but it wasn't a weakness wherein everything had to be dropped. He was master. He had the keys of hell and of death, and still has them. This is where the Lord's table, the ordinance of his broken body and his poured out blood, come together. This is what he intends when he says, do this in remembrance of me. Yes, do it. Now what sacred thoughts may not these things arouse and have aroused and will arouse in some of your lives in days yet to come. There is one great favour You know, thy one great mercy in affliction, and that is that his strength is made perfect, not half perfect, not just sufficiently perfect to bring you through, but perfect in weakness. Thus, dross is consumed, all striving to merit eternal life, laid in the furnace. And grace reigns triumphant over sin, the free unmerited grace of God as seen in the life, in the ministry, in the suffering, in the death, as here set out, if thou didst hear, came up to us, he said, it's finished, now, said I. You who may be striving hard, find a little, some merit to bring to the Saviour. You who will get to come right down to the bottom, give not up your little hope, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And thus does Paul tell us, now no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Is that all? To those who are exercised thereby, I would leave it thankful to the Lord for granting me my heart's desire once more be among you, put my poor sinful hands upon the plow of the gospel, and to let you know that my affections are still with you, and further to express my unspeakable gratitude to the volume of kindness, inquiries, love, affection, of which I had not the slightest idea, from those who will give me a place, for whom God has given me a place in their hearts. I have one request to make, and it is very important. Whatever you say about today's services, many of my dear friends will be utterly amazed to know of today's event. Whatever you do, please do not attribute the slightest to my poor sinful name. I would have his holy name exalted high, high. And as I have said, since coming out of hospital, oh, that I had yet a thousand tongues. But no. Let this therefore be to you, my dear people, a testimony in answer to many prayers, your own included, and the good hand of our God upon us, our young people, our children, those that we love in gospel bonds, and therefore hold us in this day of declension and error to these simple sacred truths, thereby in one word the Passover is finished, the Lord's Supper is instituted, whereby that mighty Lord Moses is completed, honored, and magnified. And in one sweet word, the mighty Savior says, it is finished. Amen.